so the last unit that called in? Okay, so that sounds good. Okay, so welcome tonight, March 19th, 2020. This is the Arizona State Hospital Independent Oversight Committee meeting, and I think we have achieved quorum, so welcome. And for note's sake, let's say who is on, and then make sure you disclose any conflict of interest. So, yeah, Lori's on.
Okay, Alice is on, no conflict.
Dee is on.
Okay.
Ashley is on.
Okay. And Natalie, so that gives us quorum. And I know Kim was trying to call in and having trouble. Do you want me to try to patch her in on my phone?
Oh, if that works.
I can. Yeah. Let me see if I can do it. Okay, Kim's on.
I'm on.
Okay,
oh, good.
So Kim's on.
Got it. Okay. Hi, I was just having problems getting phones to work and stuff.
Okay, no problem.
No worries.
So,
is Larry
everyone
with us today? Or Veronica?
Yes, he is.
Okay, good.
Larry is. And
great,
the call is being recorded. And we've heard the units have silenced their phones, but Saguaro, Sycamore, units have called in. And another unit just called in. The nurse said she was leaving the patient in the room and monitoring them through the window. So when we get to public comment, all the patients are able to speak, but up until that time, you can listen but not speak. Okay, so did everyone get a chance to review the meeting minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have any changes, or can we have a motion to approve the meeting minutes as presented?
I'll motion to approve, Natalie.
Any seconds?
I'll second that. This is Dee.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay. So moved. Meetings are approved. Okay. Any update from ADOA, Larry?
Good evening, Lori. I have one update. Veronica, my partner with the IOC liaisons, she has been reassigned to another project. So for the time being, it's just going to be myself. So any questions or concerns directed to ADOA can just be sent to the IOC email address. And that goes to both. Veronica will still be copied on that, and myself too. Or you can just email me directly, whichever way is easier.
Okay. Thank you, Larry.
Yes, ma'am.
Give our best to Veronica.
I will.
In her new position.
I'm going to miss her. She's a wonderful person, and hope to have her back soon.
Okay. Next, we're on to the subcommittee reports. So for education support, trying to get money for having patients at Arizona State Hospital attend classes virtually and get credits or certificates for those educational classes. I was able to talk to a foundation, and they were interested in funding, providing some money to support patients that don't have the money. So I have now put the head of the foundation in charge. She's meeting with Lisa and Lisa Nguyen at Arizona State Hospital, and they were also going to have the person talk to the finance department to talk about what strings were attached to the grant or the money. So Lisa was out, so I didn't get an update on if they've gotten any further. But last week they were talking. So that's good news for the patients. So they will be able to take classes, even if they don't have the funds to do it through this grant, if everything works out okay. The one thing that I thought was unfortunate, I was hoping that they could do, that patients could do classes online, but talking to the hospital, it's, they think it's too problematic because they lock down so many sites that if you're taking a class online, especially if it's ASU or something, they may have you looking and doing research, and you'd have to look on a site that hasn't been approved. That may take too long to get approved. The hospital seemed to prefer a correspondence course instead of an online course. I said for them to work it out between the hospital and the funder, but I thought any funds towards helping people get their education was money well spent. So I'm hopeful.
That's great news.
It is good news. And as far as the dog therapy, I thought I'd put it under peer support update. And under that, we do need funding to get peer support groups to come back in because they have to be paid. We also talked about dog therapy. And when I talked to the hospital, they're all open. They said that they used to have animal therapy. And if someone is willing to come in and commit to coming in, they can, whoever that company is or owner of that animal or animal service, can talk to the hospital administration, and they will work out a schedule for them to come in with the animals to visit the patients. So that's
okay,
good
that's,
news also.
Yeah, that's great. And I will, it's called operations@petpartners.org. So I will reach out to them again. This is Dee. I'll reach out to them again and try to finalize connecting with the state hospital. Is there somebody specific they should talk to?
They told me just ask for the rehabilitation, the rehab department.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Now, I also asked the administration about an update on the COVID-19. With patients being in such, you know, they can't socially distance themselves the way everyone else can, especially if they're in line for meds or in line for going out on the mall or, okay, Kathy Basher can't get in also. So do you want me to try and get her in as well? So let me call Kathy. Let me see which number she wants me to call her on. Okay, so what they were saying until I hear back from her was that last week all the staff was retrained in extra precautions, infectious disease type precautions, and the cleaning staff has been instructed to go on a more stringent cleaning protocol. This week, I think it was effective Monday, they were going to start talking to the patients about best practices, socially distancing when you can, coughing into your sleeve, washing your hands, not touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth, things like that. So that training was supposed to occur this week on the patient unit. So hopefully we'll be able to keep everyone hopefully infection-free, or at least to the best that we can, especially those that are at higher risk. Let me see if I should try to call Kathy. Hold on a sec. Hello.
You're patching me in?
Yes. You're patched
okay,
in.
Okay, so this will count as a quorum. I can't hear as much, but I'll call on the other line when I can.
Okay. Do you want to hang up that line and have me call another number?
I can't. We've got an emergency call on another line.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm on, so you got a quorum.
Okay, thanks. If you want to mute, then we'll go ahead and...
Okay. Yeah, I will.
Okay. Okay. So we were just talking about the precautions the hospital is taking to keep the patients safe and the COVID-19. I have not heard of visitation restrictions. I just didn't hear that. I know for our visits, a lot of the staff is, they're trying to do some work from home for the administrative staff that can do that. So for our visit, Alice and I did a teleconference visit with the patients yesterday, which worked out well. And if we can do that, we could probably visit more patients. So that was, that was on the positive side. Now I can go over the incidents and accident report, and then I'll have Alice go over our site visit, and I'll kick in at the end. So the
I'm sorry, they did suspend all visitation to the hospital for the patients, just so you know.
I was expecting that, but they didn't tell me that at the time. Thank you, Dee. Okay,
you're welcome.
Tell me if I'm going too fast for you, Natalie, if you're taking notes. But
okay, so far so good.
Okay, accident report, ASH 2020-0454. In this incident, a patient was in the day room, and the patient was upset with staff and with another patient. They ran up to the other patient and started to punch the other patient. The code gray was called, and the patient was put in a physical hold and then brought to the seclusion room and put in four-point restraints. My question to the hospital was, I see nothing indicating why the patient would go straight from an incident like this, because believe me, there are a lot of them, and go right to seclusion and four-point restraints. I don't see anything in the notes that would indicate an immediate four-point restraint. I said, why not just put the person in seclusion and go from there? So they were not able to tell me why that happened, but they said that the person may have had a history of self-harm. And I said, well, I would expect it to be noted then that why they were doing this. So they committed to going to review the video. Because I said, as it stands, it didn't seem reasonable to me. That was the first one. So we'll hear back from them on that one. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, I do. I want more detail.
Yeah.
Well, I know I agree on hearing back, but the history of self-harm does not mean that patient was going to harm himself at that point. And they do have cameras.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't like what I'm hearing, but that's just me. Okay. It's Alice.
Well, I know. And that's why that stood out for me too. So we'll see what happens when we get back feedback on the reviewing of the video. The next one was ASH 2020-0480. And there was a patient assaulted by another patient, and the police were called, requested by the patient, and they talked to, in the notes, it said that the police came on campus and talked to one patient and then the registry staff. And the registry staff, the police asked the staff how they wanted to handle it on their end. And the registry staff said, oh, we'll handle it, that's okay. And then they said, after that, it said video was reviewed, there was no contact. But my question to them that administration was, why didn't they talk to both patients? If there was an altercation, why talk to only the registry nurse and one patient? I would think that they'd talk to both. And what I was told was that there's another report that isn't in our reports. It was ASH 0483, and the police, whenever the police come, they talk to security, and those reports aren't uploaded into our portal. But in that report, they pulled it up and looked at it, and they said that in that report it was noted that they talked to both patients. So I said, oh, okay, it would be nice.
Lori, can you tell me the number of the second report again involved in this?
Yeah, it was 0483.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah. So that was something I learned. I didn't know that there were other reports that we don't see. But I guess I can pay more attention to the sequential numbering and see when there's blocks missing. I can assume that there are other security incidents. So the next one is 0481. And again, it was a patient assaulted by a peer. And the police were called. But this time the police came and the officer came and talked to both patients. So I used that one as when I was talking to administration, saying, well, in this one, the police came and talked to both. So that's what happens typically. The next one was really disturbing to me. It was ASH 2020-0526. And what happened was there was a, there was a patient assaulting another patient, and the police were called, and the police came out. Police came on prompt. Oh, so the police were called, and this happened on February 8th. But what I found very surprising was that the police came back on February 10th and arrested the person and brought him to jail. So I said I found that really unusual. So what I found, what I heard was the police determine when they want to bring someone in or not. And the hospital said, based on the history of the violence, for this person, someone back at the precinct saw it, they determined they were going to come back and arrest them. So they did. So it depends on the legal system and the courts, but it's not the hospital's opinion that it's in the best interest of the patient to be brought to jail. Because sometimes they, when they do this, they keep them a day, a month, and sometimes up to a year, right? But what happens is when they're in jail, often they're not getting their medication. They decompensate. It disrupts their treatment, and they come back in worse shape, especially if they've spent a long time in jail, just to be brought back to the hospital after they finally do go to court. So that was disturbing, but they said that the hospital isn't the one that said, please take this person. It was the police department and the legal system that said arrest, and then they have to wait to go to court and see if they want the person to face charges and if they feel they're stable enough to face charges. So that was disturbing to me, but I think it was disturbing to administration as well. Any questions on that one? Okay. The next one was ASH 2020-0540, and this was a patient-on-patient assault. This one was problematic because it happened with roommates, and it was alleged that one of the patients maybe kind of fell on top of the other patient, and they weren't sure But because of that, one of the patient was moved, so they do not share the same bedroom or bathroom. And my question was, because it wasn't clear in the notes, when did they move the person and separate them? So I asked, were they separated on the day of the incident, or did this only come after the review of the charts? And they said it happened at the day of the incident, so I was happy with that. That was a good thing.
Yeah, that is good.
The next one was Ash 2020-06-08, and it was a patient-on-patient incident, and police were involved. And it turned, when they were writing the notes and reviewing it, at the bottom of the notes, it said, a copy of the complaint was made and turned into Ash Legal Department. No other action was taken, no arrest was made. So my question to the administration is, why was it turned into legal? I've read a lot of these, and I don't see that. And they said, based on the subsequent incident report after security was interviewed. So once again, this was 06-08, and the police must have interviewed security, and based on that security interview, they determined that they needed to submit it to their legal department, the complaint. If I look at the numbering, it jumps after 608, we have 609, and then it jumps to 616. So there's like maybe 15 different or 16 different reports that aren't in our portal. Okay, the next one was 2020-06-73. Police were called by a patient. They came and they interviewed. It was patient on patient. And again, they came, they interviewed both the patients and trying to redirect. I'm looking to see if there's anything else. Now, on this one, I think it seemed like a reasonable debrief. Now, that was all of the ones that I had from this month's incidents and accidents. Next, Alice, do you want to talk about the two interviews we had yesterday? One was quite disturbing, and I think it's, as you listen, if you want to talk about the one, it really talks about why I really believe we need to have audio along with video.
Yes, we do. You know, I've been reviewing the videos, and mm-hmm. we'll get to patients talk about that. And without audio, it's very difficult. So, Shall we start with the first person that we interviewed? Okay. This person talks about a particular staff member who was bragging to other staff members about how abusive that he was when he was back in California working.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the patient
how
was
what?
A few
what
feet
was
away.
The word you use? He was mm-hmm. bragging about how what he was?
How aggressive and the abuse
okay,
that he had inflicted on patients. Yeah, this is the staff member. And this the particular patient that he was nearby that we interviewed, and he happened to overhear it. The patient, like other patients, talks about he had some room searches, and where that abusive staff member tore the room apart. And the patient admits got very verbally upset with staff, and that they were so disrespectful towards him. And I guess at one point, one of the staff members said, "Fight me, go ahead." And the patient said that security was right next to him and saw all of this. The staff was basically standing there with his fisted hands, according to this patient, in a fight stance. And he's talking about that this was about 5 weeks ago, maybe six. Mm-hmm. He says he told Jackie right away, and he wanted video reviewed, and he says Jack investigated. He wanted all that done. Out of 100 grievances filed over 6 years that he had been there, apparently there's only one that Access has come to address with the patient. He said that this particular staff member is very big and has been harassing other patients. Let's see. He talked about having a violent takedown recently, being punched 3 times, having marks on him in different parts of his body from that takedown, where when they did the takedown, it sounds like it wasn't done correctly based on what he says. We obviously don't have the video. As well as you never would hit a patient like that. And then when some of what he described is the way he would take down a patient, like as and when they're being restrained, but you can't lean on a patient heavily and things like that. So he talks about having bruises on him because of being leaned on so heavily. And he said that some of the other patients were able to see these bruises and things. He said this is, again, same staff member was the one punching him. That the patient has this investigation again 5 weeks ago. Am I allowed to say the name of the staff member that he speaks about? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think we should. I think one of them they talked about was a concentric, so a temporary.
Well, I've got one that is a regular staff member. Well, I have two that have been talked about, the regular staff members. And I have one that's concentric. So we'll just say that. How about that?
Yeah.
So then the particular concentric staff member has been brought up various times by patients. He also, weeks ago, had punched, from what I understand, another patient. And he continues to be, even though he's done this various times, abuse patients, he continues to be staffed at ASH. And there apparently are numerous complaints against him and a violence. And this is a staff member I've definitely heard patients talk about before. Concentric. Okay, so this particular patient says he does have one staff member that has helped him and been his angel and listens to him and talks nicely. He said he was an RN and he filed he talks to him. This is somebody who actually, tries to make him feel better. Anyway, the patient talks about another RN that he had filed complaints of sexual harassment against. And she was moved to civil side, and then a few months later, he told she, quote-unquote, quit. Feels like Zachy rarely actually helps him with incident reports and issues that he has. And I got the idea that he didn't necessarily feel that the harassment was the reason why she was moved, but, you know, who knows? She would do things like pat her butt and blow kisses, just odd, inappropriate things. Patient said that you never win when ASH employees are violent and harass patients, quote unquote. A lot of patients are victims of staff. I also gathered from the two patients that there are staff against staff issues, where there are staff members that not only harass patients, but other staff members. The patient talks about medical treatment for med issues, and I guess because he has a history of drug abuse, and he was extremely psychotic during a phase of a lot of drug use. The doctor has thought that psychosis might have been drug-induced, but he was brought in, he said, with psychosis. So they don't always trust some of the things he says, although he believes this might have been drug-induced, as the doctor told him. Again, we have another complaint by him, as we've heard from other patients, mail being open, and they're being recorded in a book, and he said that he had a gold necklace stolen that his son had sent him that was supposed to be in that envelope. Okay, so I have another patient.
On that Alice, on that one, I think the first, just about this same one, the only other things I had was that this staff was bragging how it was so much easier at the California hospitals that didn't have cameras to get away with abuse, and was bragging about beating up patients. You know, it was just awful. And this one patient had had it, and you know, was trying to kind of stand up for other patients as well. The other thing that he mentioned was that there is a patient on his unit that is very violent, and he has stabbed other patients and staff, and he's been making threatening comments, and the patient said, the violent patient said, next person he fights, he wants to kill. So this patient has asked to be moved away from that unit because he's making threats towards them. And what was upsetting was that they can't seem to come to agreement on who gets to decide. So some of the treatment team thinks he should be moved, and other of the treatment team thinks that he should stay. And then I think administration told me it was up to the CMO to decide if he stays on that unit or moves. Yeah, so
correct.
That was a little disheartening, but yeah.
And the thing that made me sad is, as I was reviewing the YouTube videos, like you suggested earlier, you see, like, I think it was January 31st, 2020, but, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell because there's a date sometimes under the video, whereas it might have happened a couple years ago. But we do see Holly Geisel in the news there, and you know, talking about the injustices at the hospital and things that were going on. And then I was also able to view a video that had to do with ABC 15 also reporting of a patient killing another patient. And according to ABC 15, this patient had a violent history and had a history of fighting with this patient that he killed. And yet, like the patient we just spoke of, he was never moved off the unit. They were never separated. And their rooms, you could see them coming out in the video, room to room, they're side by side. So it was interesting to me when I looked at that.
That must have been the ATPC or whatever the unit is that we don't have. That's not part of the civil or forensic side. So that's not something we can look at. The videos we were told to look at from our patient were ones that where he was beaten up by staff, and he has a long, it was a sad set of circumstance. Yeah. So I only watched the one with him, and I didn't watch the other reporting ones.
Well, I was just honestly looking at several just to get an idea of what's going on. And they go back, I think, 5 years or so, 6 years, just because I thought it'd be interesting just to see the pattern. And when I looked at that, yes, you're right, it wasn't our side that were overseeing. I just thought it was interesting because there's so many consistent complaints. Why wasn't that person removed from the unit? You know what I mean? Like, that kind of substantiates that they're not necessarily separating people. Just that they were room to room, and they were on a hallway, and they were kind of close to the end of the hallway in the video that I saw. That's off topic, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay,
So on the one that the next person that we talked to, I think that there is, there are things that I think that are just rights violations, and Alice can talk more about it, but he was tied up for 842 minutes in seclusions. I mean, that's like way, way, way too long. And So we have that. Plus, he was, for 13 and a half months, he was in a room with no light or no window, with the window covered up. And it wasn't until he got legal action and that his lawyers got him out of there. So there are, if you want to talk about this other patient, I think there are definitely areas where we can ask for more information on how and why this has happened.
Okay, that patient is, I think it's cooler than what I see in jail when somebody's put in seclusion, or ADSEG as they call it. I see a few videos related to that patient, and I actually have them in front of me, I'm scrolling. And I do see where there is a posting of all through the month of October of last year, many different, I think there was 9 different times that he was restrained. Some mechanical, a few that were chemical. Let me just click on this. The one that was 843 minutes, and which was unbelievable to me. So anyway, I'll start with him introducing himself. The first thing he talked about was the seclusion. And in that room, and I could see it more than once, there's nothing in that room. He's kind of laying on a cement floor, basically. There's just one little bedding area. And at one point, when you see where the patient was taken out of the room, there's like a couple of small towels in there, you know, a little place on the side where there's a couple cups of coffee, and he has a notebook with mail and stuff in it. And you do see staff after he's gone out of the room, and I can see where he's physically being pushed and everything, just throwing around the letters and things that were in his notebook. He's sitting there in a room for 13 months, basically, with almost nothing but a cement floor. And like you said, no window, nothing. That's unbelievable. So the time when he recently, when he was talking about in the very beginning about the restraints for 843 minutes, he was also chemically restrained. And that was on the same day. So they do have record of both. And as far as I know, I thought that we weren't allowed to do both. You know, once you're physically restrained and then chemically restrained, I thought that you remove the mechanical restraints and the patient's closely watched. Let's see. He said that they were very aggressive when they put him in restraints. He never saw a doctor or a nurse practitioner order it, although it looks like there's somebody who ordered it in the chart. But I don't know when it was ordered. I looked at the video. I can't see a video where he's passed out or anything. I honestly couldn't find the video with him in restraints, unfortunately. So, yeah, the doctor from Mass is there. Let's see.
I think one thing to on this
is the toenail removal. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. I think one thing when people are listening to this, what I found disturbing was that I think some staff, and there are staff that are still working there, and there are staff that have since left, that found the treatment of this person, this patient, so horrendous that they gave videos and documents and everything to the family. That's how these videos got up. So these videos have been taken out of the hospital and given to the family because they felt that this person has been harmed repeatedly. And the patient's no angel. So the problem is that with his history of what he's gone through in his life and why he's in there, he did have some therapy that did help him. He definitely has a violent tendency. but he does need therapy. He's got terrible PTSD, and right now they're not giving him therapy because they don't feel safe to be around him. So, I mean, it's kind of this perfect storm, right? And again, if you watch the videos, you can't tell, especially when this one staff that he said that comes in, and I don't know if you saw it, Alice, but there's a difference between a show of force where you just, everyone stands around like, okay, rethink this, and going into kind of charging a patient and
that is the
escalating.
Only part that I could really see. They were completely surrounding him. There was a large number of security and staff with the woman who was still in the room kind of going through all this stuff and throwing a little bit, very few things that were in that seclusion room around. It was more than a show of force. It was like they were charging him. And I don't care who you are. If it was me, even, I would flip out. Here's the interesting thing, too, about that. In that hallway area where they were pushing him out, I have the feeling that video might not be available some way because the reason we can't see what exactly was happening to him except that he was being surrounded by staff and kind of charged out of the room is because we only have the video of the room. I'd love to know where the video of that little hall area went because in another video, I do see where the patient admitted to us. And you could see him shuffling out of the room on two little washcloths, and you can kind of see that his toenails, his big toes, are all red, where they need treatment. Apparently, they hadn't had treatment, obviously, because you can still see the red. There's no bandage. And he is hitting the camera, like he described to us. So that little hallway does have a camera. And several minutes went by, and he's hitting the camera, and finally the video ends, but you never see anybody come in. So I wonder why the patient never got any sort of bandaging or anything of his toes. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously they hurt so bad, he was shuffling on two washcloths over to the camera, and he had like a towel in his hand, and he was hitting the camera trying to get somebody's attention.
Yeah.
You know, and this patient was molested as a child. He admits to why he ended up in prison to us. And like you said, requesting therapy. So if you are in seclusion in a room with no window, cement floor, almost nothing to lay on from what I could see in one of the videos, a couple of towels and a tiny, tiny amount of belongings, I would think that alone could make somebody psychotic. According to current research, I think it's within 20 to 30 days of something like that, a person can start having brain damage. So, just a side note about something like that happening.
Yeah, I think another thing that was disturbing was that he was put on medication, and he readily admits he's got a trigger temper, right?
Yes.
If you look at him wrong, he's going to respond. And we said, just for your own sake, you should take a deep breath and don't. But we're not therapists. I'm not, at least. But he said that he was put on medication for 9 months, and he was DTO-free, danger to others, no symptoms of that, no signs of it. Then they discontinued the medication. He was anxious. He was not sleeping. He was paranoid. He was asking for the medication. The particular doctor, who I won't mention, his psychiatrist, would not give him the medication back. And it was that same morning that he was begging for meds, and that's the day that he assaulted another patient. And he feels bad because he said it really wasn't the other patient's fault. He really wasn't even after the other patient. But he was so paranoid and psychotic and hadn't slept that the patient was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, and I love that he took responsibility for his actions throughout the interview. That, you know, says something. But, you know, I don't know. He's just been through so much. And then when if somebody looks at you wrong in an environment like that where you feel like you're trapped and you're helpless after you have been there for years, I would imagine you would get into an anger, defensive, almost aggressive mode because you don't know what's coming next. Does that make sense mm-hmm. to everybody? Because it would make sense to me. And then, like I said, when you are never knowing if you're going to be taken down and restrained like that, like he's been many times from what I saw, I don't know. It doesn't make it right that he becomes aggressive, but you feel like a caged animal. And then, like I said, all those months in seclusion, that does a lot of damage to a person. Talk about...
It makes me think about how we spoke so many times about how there needs to be more like trauma-informed care training and mm-hmm. you know, supportive responses rather than punitive type of responses for patients. I don't know how far we got on that, but it's kind of that's a common theme we see.
That's part of, you know, as far as some of the things that there's a bill going through the legislature, and they asked, and we said from our meetings that we'd like audio, right? We'd like audio and the surveillance cameras to be replaced and to be to show more of those hidden areas. Obviously, not the private rooms and not the bathrooms, but more of the public spaces. So when there is an allegation of investigation, and remember, no one's going to have total access, but when there's an incident, you could actually pull it, and actually Jackie or even the access or the investigators could pull and listen to what happened prior to if someone is pushing their buttons, because we've heard that a lot. They know, some staff seem to know what to say to aggravate people instead of calming mm-hmm. people down. So we've asked for that, and what else? And we asked for, I think Kathy Basher had mentioned it, and I asked that they get more training on how to have less, how to have de-escalation training and how to have less restraints and seclusions. So both of those are in the bill if our legislation goes
that's
through.
Good. So I was wondering, is there a way to find policy on seclusion? Because I thought there was JCO, and I mean that, you know, we had, because when I had to have someone secluded one single time in a year and restrained because he was hurting himself, it wasn't for a long period because we had somebody take him into the hospital. I mean the regular medical hospital. And we had to chart very, very thoroughly on it. And we had to be there in every few minutes, make another charting about the hands, the feet, you know, how the patient was doing. You had to have somebody there. And from what I understood, JCO and organizations look at that, there's legalities involved. So I would love to see a policy about this at ASH. What is their policy? You know, there has to be.
Do I have a motion to request?
Sure, I'll motion that.
The...
This is D.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved. I think.
Yeah, it is a JCO requirement that they have to have a policy on that, and they have to follow it very strictly. So.
And it's not being done, so.
Well, I can't say that it's not, obviously that long seclusion, if someone wasn't checking. Yeah. In the seclusion and restraint reports, there are charts on the back of the reports. I don't have one open right now, but the charts, every 15 minutes they have to check, and there are different categories that they have to check to see if someone is calming down, if they agree to be safe, if they, you know, so they do check them every 15 minutes. And we have, when Jim used to review these, sometimes our feedback was, you're just checking, but you're not saying what behaviors you're still seeing to justify keeping this person in seclusion and restraints. So for a while,
thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. They do, different people chart differently, but they will say, patient continues to do this, or that, justifying continuation. Or patient is still banging on door, banging on this or doing that. So they do that. As far as this uber long one, I haven't seen that report. It could have been before I was looking at them, but they do.
Can I motion that we see and ask about what happens to the reports that are kind of missing? How you said there were gaps between the numbers, like how come we can't see that information?
If we have a motion?
I would motion,
I'll motion to. I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Yeah, I was surprised too when I learned of that.
Yeah. And so, I want to understand this. Chemical restraint and physical restraint or mechanical restraint, I thought that once a patient was restrained and then then you put the chemical restraint, I thought it was one or the other. And then you just continue to monitor. And if the patient comes out of the chemical restraint, basically, you know, once they start, if they start acting violent again and they don't agree to calm down, you know, then that's, you know what I mean? You kind of go back and forth a little bit, or you might just give them another shot or, you know, whatever the doctor has ordered. I thought that, again, that was another JCO thing. I've never heard of doing both, that's all. I've only heard of one, then the other, and then you take off the mechanical.
Well, do you want clarification on that?
I really would.
Make a motion.
Alice makes a motion. Is that okay?
Yes.
Or can I motion?
You can motion and then have a second.
Anyone can motion. Second? This is Dee. Yeah, I'll second okay. That. Sure.
Okay.
Thank you, Dee.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. So, I mean, as far as the retaliation concerns, what the hospital has said is that they cannot go off these someone's retaliating. They need specific examples. On this date, I did this, or I wrote someone up, and then on the next date, this was taken away from me, or this is moved. They want clear examples, and then we can ask for investigations into those, but they have to be, on this date, this happened, on the next date, so-and-so did this, on the next date, because I've asked about patients having to start over when they've moved to different units or different teams, and they say that's not the case, and they want examples if that's happened. I said that we've heard many times from many people that they write a grievance against someone, and then all of a sudden, they're restricted to unit. The administration said that they need examples. Maybe they're restricted to unit because of an incident that occurred. So without examples, we cannot, and specific examples, we can't get very far with that.
It's just, as far, this is Alice again, surprises me because if we would be able, I mean, I don't know, are we allowed to look at any of the patient's charts to check on these things because it should be there?
I think that, and Larry, you can chime in. I think that if we've called for an investigation, that we think that someone's human rights have been violated, that we can ask for information and reports, and we can even ask for unredacted if we're doing the investigation.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, because that's the only way that I can think of that we would be able to get those specifics. I don't know another way.
So if we have someone that wants to give us a date, I did this, then I was retaliated. I think one of our patients we visited yesterday stated that once he retained a lawyer, then he was getting retaliated against.
Yes, he did say that. No. That's not the only patient to ever say that. But yeah, the one from this month, yesterday, yes.
So we could see if they want to do that. He said that he'd sign that we have the right to see his information, and he would sign that over too if we could help. So we have to decide how we're going to investigate some of these complaints. We also had a letter that got sent out to everyone, but before that, as far as the ASH proposed legislation, the things that our IOC was concerned about, the number one thing was the surveillance, so we could get audio for better investigation and better ability to see if there is retaliation or prodding or bad treatment by staff to patients. And number two is to get the training for folks that was in there. Three, it's come from other places and other people, but they would like the IOC to have a non-voting position on the governance board there at the Arizona State Hospital. They primarily have employees there. They have had a few community members. I think Sue Gilbertson sits on that board, and then they have two, I think a peer, and then someone from Tucson, maybe a psychologist, or but they generally call into the meetings. I think the other folks that have been working on those proposed legislation changes just feel that most hospitals, their boards are not made up of only employees with a few other people. Most of them are made up of community members with representation from the organization, but not totally, not full of employees, right? So I think that others have been trying to get that legislation through.
I'm in agreement with you, Lori. I've sat on other boards before, and it's not all employees.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes with the legislation. That's come from other groups. The patient letter that we sent out, again, it was a thoughtful letter that talks about, again, trying to help people recover and be therapeutic and assist them instead of punishing all patients when one patient doesn't behave. I mean, that was kind of a theme and trying to do more for the patients. I mean, did anyone else have any thoughts over the letter?
I did, and my thought is this. It would be kind of dependent upon what happened, because on the one hand, when somebody does something extremely violent, you don't want a repeat of it. So I see where sometimes it feels retaliatory to the whole of the unit. But there are also times when it's not necessarily appropriate to create a whole new policy and take rights away from every patient to an item or, you know, something in particular. So it's kind of like hard to say.
Yeah.
I know one of the things I think he talks about were pens, you know, like if somebody had been stabbed by one, you know, in that case, it makes me think, you know, that I think he talks about there were like bendy pens or something. I can kind of see that. Because a pen or a pencil, if it's long enough, can gouge an eye out.
Yeah.
So it's kind of case dependent. I've noticed it doesn't always happen in every case where one patient does something and then everybody loses that privilege. So,
this is Dee. I think that some of those decisions are being made unit to unit. It's not that it's across the board throughout the hospital. Each unit kind of makes up their own rules as they go along. So then some of the patients over, so some of the patients are allowed to have regular pens in, you know, with rehab and stuff like that. But yet on another unit, that's not the case. So this just, you know, just an FYI, it's one small detail, but that's kind of how I'm hearing things are working, that nothing is the same from unit to unit. So.
Okay, because I thought that when something changed like that, it kind of became an overarching policy, but it would depend on the severity of the population in the unit. You know, if
no, that's not the case.
But no, it's not the case. Yeah.
No, it's
I
not.
Know
okay, right. Thank you.
And so, yeah, that's it.
Okay. And as you guys know, because Rebecca, due to health reasons, had to resign, we are looking for new members. So if you have anyone that you feel has an interest and could add value and help our patient population, our vulnerable population, please ask them to fill out an application.
If I can find somebody, I definitely...
Okay. Now, do we have anything else before we go to public comment?
I just want to say something really quick before we go to public comment, because I think I'm trying to reach out to those who are just listening at this point in time. I think you kind of already said this, but if there's anybody listening from a parent or a patient standpoint who would like to come forward and bring some information specific to the retaliation issues, I'd like to encourage them to do that. Would anything from family, do you think, would that also qualify, Lori?
I think so. If you had the details, if you said on this date this happened and then these subsequent actions happened and we can show that, we can ask for an investigation.
Okay, great. That's all I wanted to say. I just want to make sure everybody knew.
Yeah.
Excellent point.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else before public comment? Okay. We're open for public comment. And remember, if you want to state your name, you can say whether you want your name in the minutes or not. If you'd rather remain not state your name, that's fine as well. And we'll give each person up to 3 minutes to give their public comment. So on the units, if you want to unmute, let's do it one person at a time.
Saguaro, Chris Martel.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. I wanted to, am I allowed to go? Am I allowed to talk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I had a concern that they are taking away pens across the board. The administration is making changes to every unit. They do retaliate. I'm willing to. I talked to you guys. I'm not going to say when or anything, but you probably know some of you by my name. But they retaliate. I was retaliated again with the sexual abuse. That staff member is no longer here. She would start a fight with me, and I would write a grievance, and she would write an incident report, and I would get in trouble for it by the treatment team and get ROU'd, and my grievance would just get denied. I'm the one with over 100 grievances probably in the 6 years being here, with not one of them being granted. I'm willing to open up my, if you want records or reports, I will sign Notary of Public for reports. I will sign the HIPAA thing. I'm ready to go to the news and call Dr. Bowen and let him know I'm going to the news and give them, if nobody else that specializes in this wants to take this, I will get, there's other patients I'm talking to as well. One is listening right now. I won't say his name, but there is willing to, you know, come forward with all this information that the mistreatment, the abuse, the retaliation, the mishandling of patients. The last patient you were talking about, he was brutally, I mean, that was, there was a connection there, but I don't know if you guys caught it, between the two things that the patient that I had, or the staff member that I had a problem with, was the one that had attacked and where they got punched up, the other patient. I'm willing to open up my, I'll sign my life away to you or to anybody who is willing to help. I've gotten no winning grievances back. I've got one recently because I think they're being investigated a little bit. But if you guys are willing to take on my case, I had my first 2 years I was psychotic, so they were null and void. I don't know what happened. But I've been stable for 3 or 4 years now, and extremely stable the last year. I'm willing to do that. Or if you can find me a reporter on TV that would investigate, I would open up to them and expose, as well as get other patients to give specifics and show it in reports and from the hospital, and come straight from the hospital's own mouth, these mistreatment and behaviors that are going on. And I'm Chris Martell. I'm on the SOAR unit. I'm letting ACDL know. They're working on some of my stuff. She wants to know if I do go to the TV station. Also, I'm gonna pre-warn Dr. Bowen before I do this. I would like your guys' involvement. It's gonna be hard for me to track down TV station phone numbers and stuff, and try to, I mean, with no phone book here and no computer access, and very little help from the outside. But I'm an open book. I want to help this place. This place has a lot to offer, but I've been abused severely here, and it's just ridiculous. I'm willing to open up and give everything, even though that I've had a bad, very bad past. When I came in, I was very violent. I still can be aggressive as well. Only when I'm wronged. Only when someone is disrespectful, I'm wronged. I'm willing to do that if you guys are willing to do that.
Thank you, Chris. As you know, we can't respond to public comment, but thank you. Everyone heard what you had to say.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Did you want to talk? Okay, that is it for Saguaro.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Do you want your name in the meeting minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Okay, were you talking to the committee because it was hard to hear you?
I'm going to go get my name.
Did you want to make a public comment?
Hello, this is Timothy Bribriasco from Sycamore Unit.
Hi, Timothy. Do you want your name in the meeting minutes?
Oh, most definitely.
Got it. Thank you.
We're talking about patients being restrained chemically and in a seclusion room for such a long time. On my unit, there's a civil patient. He's been in the same seclusion room over 5 years now. Every time he comes out, he has to have TSDs, which are transportation safety device, around his belly so he cannot sort of holds his hand so he cannot hit anybody. I guess he's a very violent person, but still, I don't see why he's got to be in the seclusion room for 5 years, over 5 years. Also, camera footage. Whenever it's going to look bad for the hospital, it seems to get lost, certain angles and stuff like that. So it would be great if you guys could probably get some better cameras, and audio would be awesome because it would show how staff pushes buttons, antagonizes, disrespects you until you snap out and have an incident. You guys were talking about JACO requirements. This hospital puts on a front. They don't adhere to nothing of JACO or the fire marshal or nothing. And there's another organization that comes in, I guess, too, once or twice a year. They only tighten up their ship when they're about to come in, and JACO doesn't tell them exactly what day, but they tell them what week or what month they're coming in. So then they tighten up. Then after they come through and check everything, then they just, okay, we're back to normal, slacking off. You have staff sleeping. Multiple staff sleep on my unit over the third shift. I feel that my parents' dollars and your dollars as taxpayers should not be spent paying someone to supposedly watch us for safety reasons and be sleeping on the clock. Also, like you guys were talking about, all the rules on every unit, rules are different. There's nothing that is blanketed across the whole forensic side. I don't know about civil, but there's different rules for different people even. And they want to say it's IDTP, individually, treatment plan or whatever. That's BS. I'm one that's retaliated a lot on, and they have their favorites who they allow do whatever. Then there's the other people, and then there's me and one or two other patients on the unit. The other one is civil patient also. They really have it out for him and I. I have about eight different peers that see all this happening to him and I and say, damn, I'm really glad I'm not you, or geez, they got it out for you, or holy cow, man, what did you do to piss these people off? One, for instance, about a retaliation was, there was a murder over on ACPTC. The evening of that happening, my doctor, Dr. Les, medical doctor, was over there taking care of the coroner and all that stuff. When my mother called about 5 o'clock in the morning to leave him a message on his voicemail here at the hospital, security or campus support, wherever the phone call came into, they patched her through to his personal cell phone that was at his house. So he became very upset with me the next morning, and he asked me, do you like your mom being your guardian? I said, yes, of course so. I wouldn't have any other way. And I said, why is that? He goes, because she's not in a position to be demanding things, and she's going to have to learn. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, oh, nothing. But he had a smirk on his face, and then right after that, that's when my team, Dr. Willett, Ryan, Jan DeLee, the social worker at that time, and I don't know the psychologist's name, but they sent a letter to the Assistant Attorney General of Arizona stating that my mother has advised me over 280 times to quit taking my medication from November 1st of 2018. That was right when I got on this unit almost. I'd been on this unit for about a month at that time. They sent that to the Assistant Attorney General. Now, I asked them questions about this. We were going to court, access court, and all that good stuff, administrative law judge. So that's it. For instance, on a retaliation, there are several staff members who really dislike me because I call it like I see it. When you disrespect me or you come out of pocket, I tell you F off or screw you, and they don't appreciate that. And I might say it a little bit loud here and there, and then I get retaliated against. And the other day, one of our Tech Fours said I asked to go outside from 1 to 5, since I'm 1 to 5 all the time because I keep getting my privileges taken. That's another retaliation. But I asked him to go out, and I said, never mind, because I had to go to the bathroom. I came back out of the bathroom. I said, yeah, I will go out. And then he started yelling at me, you're not telling me when you're going outside. You can't just pick and choose. I said, just do your job. Are you that upset? Because I'm asking you to do your job. He says, wait until next time. I said, what, you're going to retaliate on me? And he said, yes. And I wish somebody would have been around, but, you know, can't happen all the time like that. But that's some for incidences. And I would like it if you guys could come see me, and I'll have some more.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
Time. Have a blessed weekend, and be safe out there.
You too.
Okay. Do we have anyone else?
I thought there was somebody on one of the other units. Was her name Sharon? I wasn't clear.
Yes, I heard a female voice, and I couldn't tell whether she was trying to speak to us. So if you're still there and would like to speak to us, please.
I picked up the phone.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Well, I have we have an unruly patient on the unit.
Okay.
I've been here for two years, had no incidences. After 2 weeks of his abuse, and also I wrote a grievance on this individual, and I was told by the investigator who came out, oh, that's just Roy, and we just have to learn how to deal with him. Mm-hmm. I snapped one morning after three nights without no sleep. He likes to make lots of noise at night, and I'm a very light sleeper. And I had just gotten my levels, and they removed my levels from me after I went to my treatment team and told them about the incident. My levels were removed from me. It's I guess that's a kind of retaliation, but I was going to be quiet about it because it seems like you guys have more important things to do. But that's my story. I haven't had no incident reports. I haven't had any problems at all. It's just this particular individual who they know is a troublemaker.
Ma'am, will you tell me your name and if you want your name in the note?
My name is Sharon Campbell.
And would you like your name in the note?
Yeah, you can go ahead and put my name in the note.
Okay.
And I'm on Cottonwood. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
This is Deborah Bykowski.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm getting better. I had surgery, so I'm getting better.
Okay.
I wanted to let you know I do have personal patient records as well as DISC. CDs to do a comparison with of the hospitals that you acquire. I also have retaliation letters from quite a few patients that maybe you might like to see.
Okay.
I'm going through the administrative law hearings now, and the administrative law judge is even having problems with Ash being able to stand up for the hospital. It's either access or the hospital. And all these situations occur at the hospital primarily. So the hospital ought to be sole attorney there. But they're rejecting it. Okay? They don't even want to stand up for the hospital. So I'm just giving you just an earful. So if you'd like the records or the tapes or the letters from the patients, you have my number and you can get a hold of me, or we could meet or whatever you'd like.
Okay. Thank you, Deborah. And
you're welcome. Have a good day.
I love you, Mom. Thank you.
Hey, yep. can this is Chris Martell again. Can I get another minute or so?
Sure.
Okay. First thing is I'm the one that filed a number of grievances, and the hospital handles everything. I've got my first actual grievance from Access out of 6 years. They actually access because the top medical assistant was here, so they actually did it as an I just lost the word. It went against administration code. This is the first one I've ever had. They always change. The hospital handles everything. I've asked for Jackie to grieve a number of complaints. Well, the grievances, but complaints. They turn them all into complaints. Everything gets turned into a complaint. They've even investigated their own on their own. That's a hospital grievances, which my understanding is Access is supposed to be handling them. My first one just came last week from Access that I had a problem with. I finally got it, and that's because, like I said, the medical office, chief officer's assistant or something was there. But they, I'm trying to, from Jackie three times to get my last year's worth of grievances because I want to appeal them. I want to look at them. I want to see which ones are petty. I want to see which ones are worthwhile and appeal them or reissue them. But nothing I've ever been able to do. I mean, the numbers on the back of the grievance form, there was like one valid one, and that's ACDL. There's another one was a fax machine. Another one was just a message telling you to write a letter in of your grievance. Another one was disconnected. And it was like, I'm just now after 6 years, you know, I'm seeing things. I'm not liking things, so I'm complaining more. And it's, nothing gets done. With the sexual harassment, she retaliated against me so much, and I mean it's a common theme with the retaliation. I don't know what the last young lady said, but about the retaliation letters, patients should be pissed at the staff. A lot of staff. I'm the one that has the angel here. Well, there's another person that has an angel here, but. That I can talk to who's Christian like me and settle me down, but he's like one out of 90 people that, you know, is worthwhile, that actually truly has a heart and does things right. And like I said, again, I'm willing to open up my life to you guys to prove these things. And all you have to do is contact me at Saguaro Unit for now. I don't know if they're going to move me. They say they're going to, but then they're divided right now. So I'm stuck on here, and I shouldn't be at this intake unit. I've been here 6 years. They moved me for census reasons. Census went down up now, so they're like, oh, we can help him. It's like, you're not going to force program me. I'm done. I'm doing self-therapy now with my therapist and my doctor and everything. So I'm extremely frustrated. I've got plenty of complaints. I've got plenty of examples. I'm willing to open up to whatever. I mean, if my past comes out as I'm a drug addict, and so what? You know, I'm a mentally ill drug addict. You know, I'm getting over it. I'm here taking advantage of everything I can. But I'm dealing right now. I'm working on getting out. I got a year and a half till I get out. So I'm working on getting out. And I'm in a unit that's trying to work me in. Oh, you're not ready to go to groups. No, I'm done going to groups. I'm handling things on my own now. I understand what's wrong with me. I understand what happened. I understand how to deal with it. My therapist is helping me. My doctor is helping me. I don't need to go color Volkswagens with crayons and go learn how to play guitar, which I don't like. And I don't need that. I need another unit, which I'm asking for. They're undecided. My treatment team is undecided. It's like they think they can help. And it's like, what can you do that this other better unit can't do that I'm asking to go to? But I would like to talk more about it. I know you guys are out of time.
Okay, well, thank you, Chris. We will visit with you again. I think with the restrictions, anyone that would like a virtual visit, which would probably make it easier for more committee members to partake, what we did is just tell Jackie you'd like a visit, and then we'll make sure we have at least two members that can that you guys can call. And I mean, on one hand, it's you were able to just talk to us directly without anyone there, because it's different than a physical visit. So that I'm just putting that out there. So if you'd like a visit, let Jackie know. A virtual visit.
Okay, and just so you know, like I said, anything specific you want, I'm sure I've been through, and I could probably dig up a date or something in my records and find examples for you. I have a pretty good memory now. Didn't when I first got in, but I can find, I can get it done, and I have help.
Okay.
Through
thank
ACBL
you, Chris.
Help you. I thank you guys
okay,
very
so,
much. You,
yeah, thanks. I think we're out of time, so
okay.
Do I have a motion to
thank
adjourn?
Yeah, sure. Motion to adjourn.
And do I have a second?
Okay,
all in favor?
Who was the motion? I'm sorry. That was me, sorry.
Oh, and Alice.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
We are so adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.